Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's M-O-O-D.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com. That's M-O-O-D.com to get started.
Market Music with Fairbairn and Russell.
Welcome to the Market Musings podcast with Fairbairn and Russell. And this time we welcome a director whose company wants to change the way people and businesses consume energy. It's a concept called energy efficiency as a service. And here to explain a little bit more is the CEO, Harvey Sinclair from E-Energy. Welcome, Harvey.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Good to be on the show.
Are you also at home? Are you stuck at home? Are you keeping busy?
We're busy, but we're all on lockdown, working from home and working remotely now.
Yeah, and how is that going? Are you managing okay?
Yeah, look, very fortunately for us, the service we provide our customers doesn't require us to be in close contact with other members of the public or indeed our customers. So, we're very lucky we're able to get into our customers' buildings when they're on lockdown, and we're still able to deliver the energy solutions without compromising the sort of the social distancing requirements.
Okay, well, that's good then, isn't it? It's good when you can just... I think most people have discovered recently that most sort of can actually carry on at home. So this concept of energy efficiency as a service, you also mentioned in your presentation that I read, light as a service. Just explain a little bit more about that concept, if you can.
Well, this concept of energy as a service has been around for over 200 years. In fact, the old £50 note had a picture of a piece of machinery which used to be given for free to the tin mines in Cornwall to extract water. And the producers of the machinery used to sell the kit on a share of profits that the water reducing kit used to give to the tin mine. So all we're really doing with our business is reinventing a proven business model for the energy sector that's been around for a long time. And that concept is any technology that releases long-term cash flows should be able to pay for itself. And when I invested in an LED company about 8 or 9 years ago, I recognized that most people who were running buildings or complex properties wanted to make the savings that was possible with LED lighting, but didn't want to have the upfront cost. Mm-hmm. So having sold my shares in that LED company, I set up a energy services business, which is now Elight. And the concept is very simple. We go to schools or we go to businesses, and we offer them the ability to reduce their energy costs through a switch to LED lighting without having to deploy any capital. And we use the savings that we unlock, having installed that LED lighting, to pay for our fee and leave the customer or the school with a surplus profit at the end of each month.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. I think is it Philips that the light bulb? Well, they do more than light bulbs, don't they? But I think that they offer a similar light as a service. And I was reading about them recently, and I think they sort of went through an evolution, if you like, from just selling light bulbs to then going to installing the light bulbs, then financing the light bulbs, and then training staff on how to work the lights and install them themselves. And now they've gone for the full service, so that we provide a full service. You effectively never have to worry about your lights again, because we'll take care of it all. Is it a similar idea?
Absolutely. In fact, there's quite a nice backstory to Philips. My business partner and chairman, David Nicol, was the chief executive of Philips.
Oh, okay.
And Philips approached my business through David about 4 or 5 years ago with a view to acquire us. Turned out we were too small, but he introduced me to my my now other business partner who ran Elite in Ireland. And in fact, David left Philips to join our, if you like, partnership. And as a result of that, we became a group, we floated, and that all arose simply out of the relationship we had with Philips and their desire to, you know, look at this sector. In fact, what's happening with lighting, you've got two sort of drivers going on. You've got the customers that want maintenance-free, better lighting, and more efficient lighting, such as schools, factories that have what I call functional lighting. And then you've got the other more sophisticated end of the market, which is sort of architectural, functional lighting meets occupancy management and aesthetic lighting for offices and for the leisure sector, which is now looking for more than just energy savings. They're looking for all sorts of dimming control. They're looking for how do you manage occupancy and security in your building through the lighting? And that's where Philips are heading. They're heading down this whole data management, occupancy management sort of side of things.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a really good concept. It's a great way of selling, you know. I mean, instead of just selling a product, going to a client and saying, you know, oh, I can save you 25% on your light bulbs. Well, they might just turn around and say, well, so what, I suppose. But with a full service and, you know, with some insight or some research into the potential customer, you can go and say, hey, you know, I can save you 10%, 5%. It would depend on the, I guess, on the client, whether it's a, you know, warehouse, a school, an office, an airport. But I could save you X percent on your energy bill. Now, I mean, no customer in the right mind is going to turn around and say, well, so what to that, are they? I mean, that you're talking some big numbers there. That gets their interest. So I like the concept a lot. I think, you know, it's a good sell. I think it's, you know, it's a good space to be in.
And many businesses have actually switched over to LED lighting, Harvey. What's the kind of split at the moment? Is it more than 50%? Is it less than 50%? Or is there still an opportunity, a market opportunity out there?
Yeah, it's a good question. And in fact, if you stick on schools for a second, 80% of schools haven't yet switched to LED lighting. And to put it into context of how significant the savings are, you know, 50% of the schools' electrification is lighting.
There you go.
So if you switch a school to LED lighting through as a service, you're typically looking at £500,000 over 10 years being saved by that school. Yeah. That's a big number. And in the commercial space, you know, you're looking at usually 70% of all businesses in the UK haven't switched to, depending on sector, but approximately 70% have not switched to LED lighting yet.
Yeah, that's a huge opportunity for the business, isn't it?
Well, yeah, we tried to size the market in our sort of, if you like, pre-listing documents, and we tried to look at the education sector first. And if you think there are 25,000 schools in the UK, so 20,000 have not yet switched. And the average cost to install lighting for a school is about £100,000. So that's a, you know, that's a £3 billion market just in schools. So it's absolutely huge.
Yeah, definitely.
It's huge. Definitely. Yeah. And it's what a great value based sell, you know, to a school, you know, to give them that figure. You know, it's crazy numbers, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's obviously with lighting alone. What's with the energy? Is that a different part of your business?
So the purpose for coming to market on AIM was twofold, really. First was, yeah, we consider the market we're in, which is this energy as a service through lighting, a really strategic, really key market that's very fragmented. There's not one big player. It's an emerging market. So we saw there being an opportunity to consolidate some niche players in education, healthcare, bringing under the Elite brand. And then secondly, we looked at the energy management space, which is, well-proven energy broking, energy management, energy consultancy sector. And what we like about the opportunity to buy in through acquisition that market is the fact that those customers have the relationship with, or rather those suppliers have the relationship with the meter at their customers. So if you take an energy management company who has, for example, 300 or 400 schools as customers, they're managing the energy supply and metering and reporting for those schools. But the prize for e-energy to be able to cross-sell and as a service solution into that market is pretty exciting. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to come up with this, if you like, tri-party strategy where we consolidate the as-a-service space through lighting first and then moving into heating and other forms of technology as a service.
Okay.
So we're reducing consumption, we're switching to a green supply, and then we're allowing through the third prong of our attack to allow our customers to move to renewable energy. So solar and storage on the roofs, electric vehicle charging, and all part of this as a service, no capital down.
Okay.
Make money from energy efficiency. And that's really the philosophy. We think energy efficiency should be profitable for every business.
Okay. Yeah, Chris, and obviously you guys just came to the market, I think it was January 2020.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. You raised £2 million, so your timing was pretty good. I imagine if that had been delayed a couple of months, it might have been a different scenario. But obviously, the business is cashed up, and it's ideal for your sort of buy and build strategy going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I've done a buy and build before on the AIM market. So 10 years ago, I sold my business to a large publishing company, Trinity Mirror, and that was an online recruitment business, which was both software and effectively online job boards aggregated under one technology platform. And that had been a business that I'd founded 6 years previously. And I came to the market then in 2002 to essentially buy up lots of other smaller businesses and give them an exit strategy, and did that for 6 years and got a great result. And so this was a similar opportunity, really. Fragmented market, technology disrupting the market, interesting time in the evolution of energy generally, because I think for the first time, you don't have to go very far, whether you're a kid at school or whether you're a retired pensioner reading the newspaper, to see that climate change, sustainability is on the top of everybody's agenda.
Definitely. Just while you touched on your previous businesses, Harvey, can you perhaps sort of go back 10, 15, 20 years, or go back as far as you want? Just give us how you've got to where you are in life now.
Sure. Okay. So, I trained as a management consultant when I left university. Didn't really enjoy that too much. Moved into the advertising sector, which was much more enjoyable, but not so lucrative. I sat down with a university friend and said, look, this internet's taking off. Should we launch a website for something? And his father ran a bunch of opticians. My stepfather was also an optician. And we thought, why can't we sell contact lenses online? Because it's postable through the letterbox. So we launched an online contact lens business back in 1999, literally just as the internet was sort of taking off. And we grew that business very successfully. And a year after we'd set that up, I came up with another idea, which was to essentially launch a recruitment site for students and graduates looking for temporary work. And that took off, and we ran those two businesses in parallel. I floated my online recruitment business 2 years later and exited that in 2006, stayed with the business for a year. And actually exited the optics business 12 years later. So they were my first two businesses. After selling the Hot Group as it was in 2006 and leaving 2007, I teamed up with some investors and got involved in commercial property and bought a hotel in Switzerland and a ski resort. And we developed that over a period of 10 years. Into what has now become the resort's most prestigious, if you like, mixed-use, commercial, residential development. And on that journey, invested in some other leisure, bar, club businesses which I exited over that journey of running the hotel and then redeveloping it, all to private equity. So we sold one of our club chains to what is now Brighton Pier PLC, which was an interesting sort of, you know, clubs and bars business. And that was a very interesting journey because I got to understand the property development market, and I guess was a slight segue into energy, because the development we launched in Verbier was a carbon neutral business. It was a carbon neutral building, had net zero emissions, and it was on that sort of journey that I became sort of acutely aware of how important, you know, our carbon footprint was. And that sort of led me into making a few personal investments into LED lighting and other interesting sort of sustainability type investments.
Yeah, certainly quite a journey. So no matter what you've done in your business life, you've made a success. So no, that's great. Thanks for sharing that with us, Harvey. I'm having a look at the presentation and your 2019 results are pretty impressive. Could you perhaps summarise them for our listeners, if you've got them to hand?
Yes, so perhaps what I could do is just give you a current trading update, because we today launched our third quarter trading results, which is the first quarter's trading that we've been on the market. And what it really says, there's sort of three key trends. The first is we're on a sales side, we're 250% up on a like-for-like period. So we're now annualizing $1 million a month in sales. So we're a 12 million turnover business annualized now, which is up 2.5 times from where we were beginning of 2019. So that's obviously evidence of a real tipping point in both the business and the market. Other interesting things, you know, we've obviously got cash on the balance sheet. So we've got 1.4 million of cash, which gives us a nice sort of stable and resilient base from which to, you know, weather any storms that are coming our way. We've seen a reduction in our sales cycle. So we're closing 40% of our proposals that we present to our education clients, our schools. And we're seeing that the conversion cycle has gone from, you know, 45 days down to sort of 30 odd days. Now, that for a B2B business proposition, I think that is an incredible stat, because it, you know, in the energy markets and the energy service sector, one of the biggest challenges has been sales cycle. You know, how long did it take to originate a project and then get it through the approvals process? So we're really excited at how quickly we are seeing, you know, these agreements being agreed to by our clients.
Yeah, so that 30 days is basically first contact until the contract's signed. Is that?
No, it's from when we present the solution to the client. So,
all right, yeah,
we go through a three phase, if you like, cycle. We originate interest through either events, conferences, digital, whatever, and so we meet our prospects, and then we evaluate their buildings through a no obligation audit, which allows us to survey the buildings and take all the data we need, and then we go back a week later and present. And it's the point from presentation of the proposal to the client that we measure the sales cycle, because that for us is the value we're creating. So for the first quarter of this calendar year, i.e. our third quarter, we generated 13 million euros worth of proposals. And, you know, we're expecting between 35 and 40% of that to close in the coming months.
Yeah, that is certainly impressive numbers and sounds very scalable going forward. So on that note, would you be happy to do a 60-second showcase for us, Harvey? Just why investors should put up their hard-earned cash in these troubled times and buy some shares in E-Energy? I don't know, Mark, do you want to time it?
Yeah, what I usually do, we need to get a little bell, I've decided, like a little ding, ding, ding bell when there's 10 seconds, because me just saying 10 seconds is not that great, I don't think. But if you're happy for that, Harvey, all I'll do is I'll count you down 3, 2, 1, and then when it gets to like 50 seconds, I'll just say 10 seconds. That's okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. All
sure. Right.
So in 3, 2, 1, take it away.
So I guess the first reason is experience and track record. So having done 1,000 projects now across UK and Ireland, our business has demonstrated the experience and the deliverability of what our solution offers to clients and the viability of that solution as a scalable business. So market opportunity is huge. 80% of buildings and customers haven't transitioned to energy efficiency lighting. So we're in a very large market with a very proven business model and a very proven team. We've got a huge pipeline, which we've developed over the last 2 years, which is now giving us that momentum in the market. And I think probably more so than ever, the concept of a sustainable impact investment on the markets is something which is difficult to find. And I think that gives investors a really interesting opportunity to get involved in our business.
Perfect. Yeah. 59.42. Excellent.
Yeah. We did have a podcast, I think it was yesterday. It was about 3.5 minutes. His 60-second pitch went on. So you've been timed that perfect, so you have. Just another thing I meant to mention earlier on, it looks like the management own quite a chunky stake in the company, just looking at the substantial shareholders.
Yes. Yeah. So I think myself, David Nicol, Ian McKenna, the sort of the three founders of the business, we've got somewhere between 55 and 60% of the company at the moment. And the reason we didn't want to raise too much money was because we wanted to prove to the market that we could generate value quickly. But we have a very acquisitive strategy, and we do hope that despite these disruptive times we're in at the moment, that the discussions we've been generating with our acquisition targets will enable us to at least one, if not two, acquisitions this year. And that will come with a capital raise, and it will also come with the opportunity, obviously, to widen our shareholder base.
Excellent. Anything else to add, Mark?
Yeah, I was actually quite interested. I just wonder if you can have you give us an idea of the size of the company, the actual footprint of the company, and also maybe a little bit of an idea of the roadmap. I know perhaps your roadmap may have been thrown out the window. Well, not quite as bad as that with the current situation. But just what is the roadmap for the future to build the company?
Yeah, so look, at the moment, we're 32 staff. We're a virtual remote managed business in the UK, which has really, really positioned us well for this weird time we're in. And we have our main base just north of Dublin, which is where our Irish business is based, and all the back office is managed out of there. As I mentioned, we're sort of a 12 million annualized sales business at the moment. The organic strategy is we're going to double that revenue over the next 2 to 3 years. We're going to acquire strategically bolt-on type acquisition targets, and so we can get the Elite business to probably 30, 35 million within 3 to 4 years. And then we're going to look to buy probably 3 to 4 million of earnings in the energy management space. So what I want within 3 years, is our business to be a sort of a 8, 9, 10 million earnings business that positions us really strategically with, 2,000 or 3,000 customers, where we can then launch a renewable strategy where it's all around solar and storage to those customers.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. That makes sense. And where are you listed on the London Exchange?
Yeah, we're on AIM under the ticker EAAS. That's Energy as a Service. We're poised and ready to go for 2020.
Great. Okay. Well, that's a nice little pitch there, I think, to whet investors' appetite. So thank you for that. It's certainly got me interested. As I said earlier, I think this whole energy as a service, or this as a service sector, is the way forward. Really, lots of companies are diversifying down that way. Software as a service. It all seems to be heading that way. So, it's really been nice to talk to you.
Great. Well, it's been great talking as well.
Yeah, thanks so much for your time, Harvey. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, guys. Right.
Thank you for listening to another podcast from Market Musings with Fairbairn and Russell. Hopefully, if you can join us next time, we'll be connecting to Australia and we'll be welcoming Craig Moulton from Cobra Resources. Tune in next time.